Yes, amen. The name of Jesus. And the last one we'll sing here is number 140. What a beautiful name. This one too. We exalt the name of Jesus. It is in his name that we find our salvation. So why don't we stand, if you're able, for this last one. What a beautiful name. 140. At the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. And the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. may be seated. Yes, it is. Well, good morning, everybody. A beautiful morning. The wind picking up speed, getting you all here, right? So, welcome. Welcome. Some announcements I have before we go on with the service, of course. Next Sunday, if you see in the bulletin, is Conference Sunday. We do this every year. What that means is we give our offering to the work of the four C's. This year, so 75% of it will go to the general operations of the conference budget, 25% will go to the ministry of our conference, our regional minister, Ray Delaurier. Most of you know him. We haven't had here for, it's been a while, but he is our regional pastor and does a wonderful job. He lives up in North Dakota. So that's that. Also, this is not in the bulletin, but next Sunday, probably towards the close of the service, we're going to have someone share, Danielle Schaefer, Wesley's wife, just briefly about this Crossroads Prison Ministry, which is, they'll explain it better next Sunday, okay? So I won't go into it now, but it's a chance to do some ministry. Also, make sure you notice the Vacation Bible School. There's a couple work days, May 9th, which is a Tuesday coming up, and then a Saturday, May 20th. So read through that. We take all the help we can get on these things. If you gave an Easter lily in memory of a loved one and would like to enjoy that at your house, you can sure get that after service today. Most of them should have name labels on them somewhere, okay? I want to make a mention, there's this Saturday evening, the Scotland Fellowship of Christian Athletes is doing an event over in their city park from 5 to 8 in the evening. So it was initially scheduled in the morning. When we printed this, we thought the speaker was going to be, as it says in the insert there, this Terry Liggins, who was an athlete at USD, a very exceptional athlete. But since they had to move the event to the evening, he cannot come. So there will be a gentleman, Jerry Norton. Norton is his name. He was a professional bullfighter back in his day. And this is for any age. You can read more about that. I guess Julie has some Vacation Bible School announcements as well.
One quick announcement. Some of the food items had a date of May 1st to have them delivered by. I know a couple people did not bring theirs today. Don't rush into church with them tomorrow by any means. Well, our work day is on May 9th, so if you did have a food item such as tomato soup, ketchup, chicken gumbo, some of the meat, that we are making that tavern on May 9th. So if you bring it next week Sunday, that would be great. We hope to start thawing the meat in the fridge and get it ready to go for Tuesday. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Julie, for all your work. She said everything's coming together. Yeah, wonderful. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we have just sung regarding the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yes, what a beautiful name, what a wonderful name, what a powerful name, the name of Jesus. There is no one else, no individual, no spirit being that could ever stand against the name of Jesus. As we have sung, Lord, you have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, you are God and you reign. Nothing can stand against the power of your name. And we, Lord God, are here to bow our knees and our hearts and our heads in your presence, before your throne, to worship you in spirit and in truth with everything that is within us. Because Jesus, you are a resurrected, risen Lord and Savior, and we serve you and live for you each and every day of our lives. So thank you for filling us again today afresh by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, that we can be strengthened for the week that lies ahead. For you know everything already that's going to happen. You know the joys we will face. You know the struggles that we might see. And you're greater than all. So we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Our opening hymn is, what is the number? 368. 368, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always here. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. Grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Yes, He does. He certainly does. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. So several things I have written down. First, we have a special guest with us today, all the way from Arizona, the Phoenix Metroplex, Gold Canyon, which is right past Apache Junction, she says. Yeah. So this was a high school friend of Ann's years ago. Terry. Years ago for me, too. So Terry, her husband is Rick, but he's not with us, so she's with us a few days and flying back tomorrow evening. So we've enjoyed having her with us. A couple other things. Brockton Kasurik, was that was, I think, a week ago tonight. He was rushed to the ER and found it was his appendix giving trouble, and the next morning They were able to do surgery, thankfully, and get that thing out of there, very inflamed but not ruptured, praise the Lord. And so he's doing well. Went back to school Wednesday or Thursday? Okay, all right. Also, this came on the prayer chain, prayers for Dustin Christensen. He's a special friend of Justin and Joni Handel's. Was in college with you, Justin? School, Votech? Yeah. And has pancreatic cancer, so a young man. And we all know pancreatic cancer is very serious. Has a wife and two children. So continued prayers for Dustin Christensen. Also, Jerome and Kathy Nuss. We've been praying for Kathy with the cancer diagnosis, and she did start her radiation treatments this last Wednesday. And it was, I believe, Tuesday night that then her husband, Jerome, was taken to the emergency room, and as tests went through the week, he had a heart attack. So they got a lot going on. He did get to come home, I believe it was Friday, but prayers for both of them through this journey that they are on. Jerome, of course, would be Judy's brother, Judy Headley. Gary Seiler, which would be Joanne Nuss's brother. Prayers for him. He had that broken femur. When they went for surgery, they discovered there was also a tumor there in the femur. And so he had surgery this last Thursday to get the tumor out and clean that area. Surgery did go well. They're just waiting on some further test results at this point. So continued prayers for Gary and his wife, Sally. Let's see. And continued prayers for Colby Sherman, the young man from Viberg. He's going through chemotherapy. Any update at all, Amy? Okay. All right. Caleb Pedersen. He was able to have his wedding last Saturday, and it's coming along little by little. Okay. Anything else over here on this side? Bo. Yeah. What you got? Right, today is Mark and Emily Guthmiller's 12th, is that it? 12th wedding anniversary. Congratulations to you guys. Yeah, on a very windy day 12 years ago. Dave, what? Oh, I thought you were pointing. I was like, I hope there's not a bat up there again or something. Where's my Batman? Oh, he's right there. Okay, yes, Bo, you got something else. And yesterday was Ron Guthmiller's birthday. Where are you hiding out there? Right there. Happy birthday, Ron, Grandpa. Okay. Oh, is that Brinley's hand? Thank you. Yesterday was Emmeline Heckenleibel's birthday. Happy birthday to you, Emmeline. Pat. Wonderful. Wonderful. Amen. Tiffany, Pat's granddaughter-in-law, Tiffany Palmerville. She says has had quite a bout with breast cancer, so gone, in remission, praise the Lord. That's good news, wonderful news. Okay, over here. Oh, Jolene first. He did? Kenny Handel. Okay, sorry to hear that. I know he's related to some of you here. Kenny Handel, neighbor of Clinton Jolene and Lee and Mary, passed away on Thursday or Friday. Kenny Handel from the Menno area. Probably grew up in this church, I'm assuming. Think? Maybe not? Okay. Anyway. All right. Sorry to hear that. Anybody else over here? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We do lift up Kenny Handel's wife and the family at his home going this last, just 2 days ago. I thank you for being with them, comforting them. And certainly it was always a joy the times I was able to visit with Kenny, and I'm sure many in the congregation know him as well. But we thank you, Father, for Jesus making a way to heaven for him. And to all who know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. We pray for so many here with health struggles. Lord, we lift all of these up to you that I mentioned and many more in the bulletin section as we pray for, Lord, all of these in need of your healing power, your strength, your guidance, your direction with decisions that have to be made. We pray that for the doctors and surgeons as they work with these individuals and their families. Thank you, Jesus, for your power that is greater than all. We thank you, Lord, for our friend Terry being with us. We pray for safe travels back to Arizona tomorrow evening for her. And just a blessing that she is and has been in our lives over the years. We pray for certainly Brockton. Thank you for good results there, that they found out what was going on quickly and he's healing up well after his surgery, Lord. We lift up our nation always, just trusting you for the work of your Spirit across our land, opening the eyes of people's understanding as you draw them unto yourself. Lord, we need revival. We thank you that you are at work behind the scenes. We pray for our leaders on every level, local, state, national. Father, that you guide and lead and direct according to your will and your plan. We pray for our troops serving at home and abroad, many in challenging situations, especially with the country of Sudan right now and what they're facing, Lord, and our involvement there over in Ukraine and that situation. And around the world, Lord, you are sovereign over all. And you know the timing of the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what has to line up for that to happen. And we just trust you in all of it. We rest in you. We thank you for where we live, that you have placed us here. We are truly, truly blessed. And in that, we lift up this season, the spring of our year. Time for planting. You said there is a time for sowing and a time for reaping. And so, with that, we lift up the need for the moisture in your time as well and ask you to provide those right amounts through this entire season. Lord, we know that without your life-giving water, nothing happens. Nothing grows. And we depend on you. And we thank you for your goodness in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And we all like sheep, that's what we're talking about right now, Psalm 23. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord God has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Let's stand and we'll sing the Lord's Prayer this morning in place of the doxology. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the faithful one. And you do so wonderfully give us our daily bread, physically and spiritually, as we live on this earth, as we live our lives for you. And so we bring our offerings and our gifts here into this storehouse as an act of worship from our hearts and our lives to you. Thank you for blessing and multiplying these gifts for your kingdom, that others would know the joy of living for you, Jesus, the joy of serving you. Thank you for the strength and health that you give every one of us day by day in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. Oops.
Thank you. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Oh, are you awake? Good morning. There we go. Now you're awake. Come on. I know. It's my little sheepy. All right, you guys, sit down. Everybody up here, just sit down right there, okay? Right there is good. Okay, come here, Raylan. Right over here, okay? Okay. Well, whoops, there they go, right? I knew I should have just put them somewhere else. Thank you. Well, remember last week when we were here? Are you guys listening? Look. Remember last week? We, Pastor Mike, started talking about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, and we played that game. Who do you trust? And after we played that fun game, we decided in our lives, in our everyday lives, who do we trust? Jesus. That's right. We trust Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit.
We trust in lambs.
We did bring these. We thank God for them, right? We thank God for them. Okay, you know, we'll just put them, maybe, I don't know, let's see. I'll just put them right there, okay? We're just going to leave them. Okay, it's all right. Okay, so today we're going to talk about verse 1 and 2, but we're going to do some hand actions with this. So you have to be watching me, okay? So this is called the 23rd Psalm. Everybody say 23rd Psalm. Ready? Do what I do. 23rd Psalm. What do you think I'm doing? Anybody? David, go ahead. What? Playing the harp, because David played music before God when he was out there being a shepherd. So we're going to talk about what? Ready? Get your harps ready. The 23rd Psalm. Okay, that's how we start. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus, they live in heaven, and they're my shepherd, right? So this is going to be for the Lord. Everybody point up here, because he's in heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. And you can even go like this for my, because whose shepherd is he? Mine. He's yours. He's mine. He's yours. He's my shepherd. And this is, the next verse is, okay, let's start from the beginning. Go. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Shaking our head says, no, I don't have to want. I don't have to try to get things on my own. I don't have to go out there and work as a child and just try to get everything I need. God provides it. He provides the things we need. Okay, so start from the beginning, right? Eyes up here. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We don't want. We don't have to get it for ourselves. God provides for us. The next part says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So we're going to take a nap. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, okay? Sleeping still waters. So He leads us when we follow Him, when we love Him. He leads us to waters, not that are rapid waters, so that we can drink, right? What are things that lambs have to and sheep have to have? Did I lose my other thing? Water and grass, right? So the shepherd leads his sheep to the still waters and to grass, okay? So this is what we're going to do for that. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Okay, let's do the whole thing together, and we'll talk just a tad bit more about it. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So what is it that sheep eat? So we said that, you know, we're sheep, right? Did God tell us we're sheep? So I brought enough grass for all of us to eat today.
Okay.
You ready? I knew there would be somebody brave. I'm not going to let you eat the sheep. I knew there would be some. Okay, you're going to eat it? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make you because you might get sick. All right? I know you would. I bet you would. Now, don't go outside after church and do not eat the grass. Okay? Don't eat the grass, all right? And He gives us, this is actually water in here. We can do that, but I can't share that right now. You can get a drink after. So He gives us these things. But as boys and girls, what do you need?
Water.
Well, you need water to live. And what else?
Food.
And a mom and a dad and grandma and grandpa and a house.
Grass.
You need grass. You need grass to eat. Okay. You do, Lincoln, okay? Mom and Dad, get him some grass for lunch. Okay, we need that, and our animals need that. So who takes care of us? Look, you guys, God. Do we have to worry? Do we have to think as boys and girls, I'm so worried, God's not going to help me in school, He's not going to help me make friends? No, He's going to take care of us. He loves you, and that's what we remember about this, the 23rd Psalm. Okay, let's pray. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Shh. Wait. Shh. Ready? Father God, I thank You so much for all these boys and girls. I thank You that we're learning about You, God, being our shepherd, and You, Jesus, being our good shepherd that came down to earth and that lived and died for us. Help us as boys and girls understand this and get this so into our heart that we always remember You're a shepherd. We are never alone. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to be a light shining for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers. Wait, here. Okay, get up.
Thank you, Ann. We'll sing out of the hymnal 219 and 220. They go together. Surely the presence of the Lord. We'll sing that twice, and then we'll go in to this next one. He is here. Presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. He is here, alleluia. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never sing that again. The same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him. You will never be the same. Just play that, Jennifer, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are here in our midst by the power of your Spirit. We know that we reach out by faith. We touch you by faith. As we see you working in each of our lives in many ways. Father, I know we've had our joys and concern time, but I want to take a little time here right now in prayer before your throne. It seems like right now, Lord, there's so many serious situations going on just in our own community, in this region, situations of health, cancer, heart, so many other things that we lift up to you, things that can be very overwhelming to these families and all of us when we hear of them. We lift our voices in prayer corporately for these people. Jerome and Kathy, both going through situations. Gary and Sally. Lord, for Dustin Christensen and his wife and their kids with pancreatic cancer. Marcia Shalsky in our own community with pancreatic cancer. Colby Sherman, just a high schooler. Caleb Pedersen, a newly married young man with very significant things going on in his entire digestive system. Jim Massey, another one, a big situation going in his life. And all of these, Lord, and many more that aren't even listed, we pause in your presence as you move in our midst. We know that these might not be with us here physically in body, but you know right where they're at. Some of them are in the hospital right now. We ask for your power to work mightily within them. Lord, those in our midst who prefer not to be named, but you know them by name. As we sang, hear him calling out your name. I pray for those right here that are struggling and those who might be listening later online, that they'd hear you calling out their name individually as your healing touch works in their lives in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Let's sing that once more, please, Jennifer. Is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. So, Father, we thank you as you move among us by your Spirit, as you move within us through the teaching of your word, that our hearts and minds would be open to you, Jesus, our good shepherd. Lord, I ask that you speak through me by your Spirit, that my words would not just be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they could be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of the living God. And I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Robert Balow, I just forgot to mention you there. I'm sorry. He was in the hospital over a week ago too with some severe diverticulosis. But praise the Lord, you're back with us today. God bless you. Sorry I didn't mention you earlier there. The 23rd Psalm. It's what we're working through here. So if you'd join me, please, in saying this. This is from the King James Version. I think it's most beautiful there. Let's say it together, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Such a beautiful psalm. We started on last Sunday. I don't want to take too much time a review. You'll have to listen to it online if you weren't here. But as we think about Jesus, he is our good shepherd. He tells us that twice in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, saying, I am the good shepherd. As we think about today, in this day and age in which we live, and it seems that so many have lost their way in life, they just don't even know where to turn. We look at so many of the events we're bombarded with in our nation, in the large cities, and in the small cities too. They need a shepherd. But even Jesus, when he walked on the planet, this was in Matthew chapter 9, and just before this verse, it says that Jesus went throughout all Israel, teaching, preaching, and healing. We see that many times in the Gospels. And this Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, and when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, listen to this, like sheep without a shepherd. Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We need a shepherd. We need Jesus as our good shepherd. That's who he is. That's who he wants to be, to lead and guide us every step of the way through whatever we're facing. And we need to be completely satisfied with him and his leadership and his management of our lives. There's the comparison of a shepherd and his sheep and us, and as the good shepherd, we are his sheep. It's so tight, just it fits together. What more could we want? In the same 10th chapter of John where he said, I am the good shepherd two times, he also said two times, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and that's the cross. So, starting here today, going on to the second verse, just the first part of the second verse. Imagine that. This is how, going through this, this is just sort of how you meditate on God's word, one step at a time. But this, in the second verse, we move from, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the rest of the verses, then he's telling us how he provides for our wants and what he does in our lives to satisfy those things. So first, the second verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's what we're going to focus on. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green. Green pastures. The springtime of the year. It's beautiful. We wait for it. Everything turns green, doesn't it? Green, of course, in the Greek, we probably know, but it means tender. It's talking about tender grass, young sprouts, full of nourishment and nutrients and life and all that sheep and cattle and horses and whatever livestock might need. That's what he's talking about. In green pastures. A place, a beautiful place to dwell in peace and safety. One thing as we're going through this today, though, we got to think back 2,000 years ago as well, where everything was not nicely fenced in and the feed was brought to them in bales or certain nourishment, nutrition bought at Edelman's feed store and to supplement the diet. There was none of that, right? None of that at all as we're going through this. Green grass. I can think of some of our years at Timber Lake when they would have an abundance of moisture through the winter, like they did just this last winter. They had a whole lot more snow up there than we even had. And the spring rains, and there most of the guys in the church, they ranched. Not a lot of crop farming, it was ranching. And they would just be so happy as we would be here. The pastures up to my waist many times in the spring with abundant moisture, and the cattle would be out there, and you couldn't even see the calves. Some of you that take cattle up by Clark and on those areas, you experience that up there as well. Green pastures. And so we need that. This verse, it's here that we're looking at, talking about the sheep that are so confident in their shepherd that they are able to lie down in the pasture. New Living, I want to read two different translations of just this first verse. The New Living, it says, he lets me rest in green meadows. This other one, a message, that's a paraphrase, but I like how it says it. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. Sort of neat, right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Those two translations use the word meadows. Well, meadows, what do you think about when you think about a meadow? Usually, that's more in the mountains or in a hilly area, I think anyway, where there's lots of trees, and all of a sudden you come to this vast opening of a meadow, right? When we lived at Cameron, Arizona, high desert, hot summers, hot, maybe not as bad as Phoenix, but still hot. Yet an hour south of us is Flagstaff, Arizona, 7,000 feet elevation at the city, and then you have the San Francisco peaks, the mountains, which go up to, I don't know, 12, 14,000 feet in elevation, something like that. Up in those peaks, there was a meadow called Lockett Meadow, and there were I'm sure every summer for sure, at least once, maybe more. Sometimes it was just our family. We'd drive up into that meadow on that winding road. Sometimes the church, we'd go up there for a picnic. On the hot, hot days, it was a relief from the heat. Just driving up into that meadow, taking stuff to cook out, campfire, and hot dogs and whatever, and just resting and relaxing. And most always, it was very green. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, green meadows. This book that I told you that I read, and I'm reviewing it again now, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. It's by this guy, Philip Keller is his name. I want to read a quote from him. For sheep, it is almost impossible for them to lie down unless four requirements are met. The amazing part of this picture is that only the shepherd himself can provide release from these four anxieties. So four things we're going to look at this morning. Only the shepherd himself can provide relief from the anxiety that comes of not having this. So we'll see again as we walk through this, the correlation of sheep, natural sheep, and us. We are the sheep, the people of his pasture, the sheep of his pasture, right? So the first one, four requirements for sheep to lie down. Number one, they must be free from all fear. Free from all fear. In this, talking about sheep, they are a prey, P-R-E-Y. They are a prey species. We probably all know that, prey versus predator, right? They are a prey species, and this comes from this book too. And their only defense is to flee, to run. They aren't like a lion that can stand up and roar, or a bear, or things like that. Those are the predator species that go after the sheep, right? Sheep have to rely, domesticated sheep, they have to rely on man for their protection from predators. In many ways, they're helpless, timid, feeble creatures whose only recourse is to run. Even that this guy says a jackrabbit, and you guys that have sheep, I'm sure know this better than me. A jackrabbit bounding out from under a bush can cause the whole flock to run. So what does God say then about us? Jesus as our good shepherd who wants us to be able to lie down in green pastures. So we have to look at his word, right? These are verses, three that I'm going to read quickly, that we should have settled in our hearts and our minds. One, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Isaiah 41:10, we know a lot of us, this is a very common verse. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I'll strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus talking there. Fear. Fear can be crippling. Now, if you've experienced, you know it. If you're one that really isn't bothered so much by that, you might be like, meh, you know. But it can be crippling. But Jesus does not want us to live in that. 1 John, he said, perfect love casts out all fear. Fear can cause sickness. I think, and I'm just trying to make this quick, but going back to my pharmacy college days up at Brookings, and in my five-year program at that time to be a pharmacist, get up there, start involved in this church that I really loved. I just start growing in my faith. As first year I'm in college, second year going on, third year, all the same time I'm growing in my faith and maybe a little bit starting to sense there could be a call to ministry, but you all know, at the same time, it's like, I am so shy. How can I be a minister? Can't do that. Can't talk in front of anybody. So get rid of that thought. Go on. In my fourth year, fourth out of five, and it's getting so strong on the other side, I am praying hours. I'd go down to the church where I went. I asked the pastor for a key. I'd go down there early in the morning, get up at 5 o'clock on weekdays, go down there. Nobody was there. Go in the basement, have my prayer time. Why didn't you do it in your apartment? Because I live with two other guys, one bedroom, one bathroom, one living room / kitchen. That's why I needed private time. Pray. Finally, talk to my professor, talk to my dad. And he always said, Michael, if you got to follow God, that's always what he'd tell me. In my mind was going many things. If I withdraw in the middle of my fourth year, what are my professors going to say? I always tell you this. I had the grades, okay? I was not failing. I had the grades. What are they going to say? What are my classmates going to say? And at that time, the College of Pharmacy was limited to, it was either 40 or 50. That was it per year. What are they going to say? What are the people of Salem Reformed Church going to say? Because my dad and mom were still here. They're going to think I lost my mind. Not that anyone ever told me that, but anyway, all that's coming. So finally, though, I took that step of faith, went and told the admissions office, you got to go through all this. You're what? What? Are you sure? Da, da, da. You know, my professor, who was a strong Christian man, thankfully, my advisor in the College of Pharmacy, I prayed with him a lot. He was supporting me, but I had gotten so worked up within myself. And I'm not going to say the words, but I think you'll follow me if I tell you. So I lived off campus, but not very far. I'd make sure I used the bathroom before I left. I'd get on, and this was the southwest side of campus. I'd get to that first building as fast as I could, go to the bathroom, and I had to use it again, and it wasn't number one, okay? I'd go on to the next class, and I mean, it was going through me like water. This went on. Same thing throughout the day. Same thing going home. That's how stressed I was, and there was worse details than that. And I had never had that before. And then, so this was all leading up to the decision, and finally I made it, and of course, it took a while to get through all that. Funny deal, though, embarrassing. So there was a girl, a classmate, not in pharmacy, who was a good friend of mine, went to the same church, so she knew some of what was going on. So after I had thought I had gotten through most of this, the bathroom issues, okay, she had come over, she said, well, I want to bring you an apple pie. I made a homemade apple pie. I want to come over and give you some of that. And I said, okay. I said, things are going pretty good. I guess I'll try it, okay? So I try it. And then after that, well, let's go for a walk. Okay. But okay. It's been okay for a couple days. So off we go. Get, I don't know, 3-4 blocks away. All of a sudden, you know the feeling. I'm not going to demonstrate how my run was back to my apartment. I said, I got to go. But I will tell you, I did not make it. That was embarrassing. Does God want us to live that way? Now, why am I saying this? I have a point, okay, with the message. I do. So, as I grew in the Lord and my knowledge of Scripture, I learned how to handle those things. I'm not saying I handle it perfectly today, but I learned how to take God's word, these verses right here, those three. God, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I'd say that again, out of my mouth. And over the years, you know, so that never happened again. All those years, so we moved here to Menno in 2004. 2005, the summer, we sort of start at least a prayer process of where are we going to go? If we're going to leave the UCC, where are we going to go? I'm telling you, there was about a week in there that all started to come back. Being bombarded, Mike. You are going to be the cause of another split in this church. What are you doing? And that fear started rising up. But I knew how to stop it in my mind and in my heart. You got to take God's word and use it. And it's not just once. I mean, you got to go at it like a machine gun. Go at the devil, because that's where he attacks, right here in the mind. It's not just a one-time say the verse and whoa. At least usually it's not. And I kept casting that down and casting it down, and much prayer, and praise the Lord where we are at today as we walked through all that together. And that's a whole nother deal. Free from all fear, okay? I don't know if I'm going to get through all four of these. I thought I would, but let's go to the second one at least. That, and I just wanted to tell you, okay, second one, they have to be free from friction. Free from friction within the flock, all right? With sheep, with livestock, there generally is what we call a pecking order. With chickens, you that have them or had them, you know, there's that pecking order. Sometimes those chickens can just pick on one little hen there and tear her to pieces. Sheep, more so the rams, I think. I'm looking at Brian here some because he's got sheep. They can do that too. Maybe it's called a butting order, right? Or a head butting. They can do that amongst each other. This guy in the book, he said, sheep are a classical flocking animal. They stick together. They work out a social order by head butting, poking with their horns, shoulder pushing. This is most clearly seen in the rams, who back off and then charge, meeting head to head with a large bang. Headbutting usually happens with the rams to establish dominance amongst themselves. Unfortunately, we can act the same way as people, right? Because we're sheep. And it cannot be good. I'm not saying, well, it's here now, it's not, thank the Lord, but it can be. We've seen it tear apart churches. We all have seen it. In various ways. That's how the devil tries to get in. So what's the answer for us as people? We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Listen to this. This is so interesting, this statement that Philip Keller made in his book. One point that always interested me was that whenever the shepherd, came into view and my presence attracted the attention of the sheep quickly forgot their foolish rivalries and stopped their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference in their behavior. Amen? And who's our shepherd? Jesus. That's why we have to have his presence in our lives, in our worship services. His presence makes all the difference. We have got to keep our eyes on him and exalt him as head of the church. Sheep don't do well in conflict situations, in jealousy situations. Within the flock, they don't. He said they become edgy, tense, restless. People don't do well in these situations either. I sure don't. I don't like it. It's not healthy for any local church or any organization at all. Second letter B, and I'm going to have to stop after this point, it looks like. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is. Hebrews 13:20. I have that reference in there. That's what he's called there. So he calls himself the good shepherd. In Hebrews, he's called the great shepherd of the sheep. Listen to the verse. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. And what's he going to do the rest of the verse? May he equip you with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he's also called the chief shepherd. So three different times in the New Testament, he says about himself, I'm the good shepherd. Paul, the apostle in Hebrews, says he is the great shepherd, excuse me. 1 Peter says he is the chief shepherd. He is our shepherd and watches over us. Again, as I started out, so many today, they've just lost their way. So much of the nation has lost their way. They need to come back to Jesus. And we, as we walk through the struggles and challenges of life, it can be tough. It really can. We all know that. I don't have to tell any of you. You all have been through things and are going through things, I'm sure, right now. Fix our eyes on Jesus. If you're struggling with fear, things like that, those are just three verses. You know what? Write them down on a note card. I had a lot of index cards back in that day. I'd write these verses down. I had them with me wherever I went till I got those memorized. When that fear would come, I'd whip them out and I'd start saying them. I went in the bathroom somewhere private or wherever where I could just say them out loud. If I was in another place, I'd say them to myself quietly, however it had to work. And I do that today too. We still get attacked in various ways. We all do. But he's watching over us and guiding us and leading us every step of the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for Jesus. Lord, it's a learning process. Help us to trust you with all of our hearts, to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge you. And you said you would make our paths straight. Father, again, if there's those in here who, I'm sure there are, maybe struggling with very difficult situations where fear can tend to take over. Because, Lord, so often we look at the circumstances and the situations. We get our eyes off you. But this morning, right now, we say, Jesus, I fix my eyes on you, my good shepherd. Thank you for leading through this situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Oh, you are up there. We're going to sing number 43. This is from the praise book. You know it well. We sing it in the choruses, but it's so beautiful. Number 43, I stand in awe. And so we do. As you're just worshiping here, him in this, if there's something that you're really struggling with, then just give it. Give it to him. Give it to him. Let's stand as we sing this. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love. You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. And so we do, Lord. We stand in awe of your majesty and power and greatness and your workings in each of our lives. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Please receive the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And we'll sing one more as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Amen. And God bless all of you. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Jennifer, for the music. Member parents, Cherub Choir sings next Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.